Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
There is a passage in Romans chapter 2 that sometimes can puzzle you. Now, if you read Romans chapter 1 and you read all the way to about Romans chapter 9 in one sitting, then Romans chapter 2 makes a lot more sense to you. Nevertheless, let's look at it. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 11. And notice in verse 11 it says, there is no respect of persons with God. That's what we're going to talk about today, no respect of persons with God. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now here's the difficulty. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now, in Romans 2:11, when Paul said that there is no respect of persons with God, it's obvious from the context that he's talking about salvation. He gives salvation to people regardless of whether they're Jews or Gentiles. In Romans 2:7, though, you might understand the passage to say that a person receives eternal life if he continues in well-doing. Because that's what he says. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. In other words, he gives eternal life. So it might appear to you that Paul is preaching salvation by good works, regardless whether the good works are performed by a Jew under the law or by a Gentile without the law. So it's obvious we need to study this verse and the verses in its context to see what's going on here, because we know that Paul didn't preach salvation by good works. Well, you keep on reading, you get to Romans chapter 3. I'm just going to show you a couple verses. You'll find many more than these. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, he's concluding something, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then he says in verse 28, verse 27, for the context, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So he takes good works out of the salvation and makes salvation a matter of faith. All right, now, in Romans chapter 2, Paul starts out by rebuking and reproving Jews who judge Gentiles as sinners by the law and who fail to judge themselves as sinners by the same law while committing the same sins. He says in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. And he really expands on this when he gets to verse 17 and comes all the way down to, verse 24, 25. He really nails it. So he rebukes them. not only because they're judging Gentiles as sinners when they're committing the same sins by the same law, but he rebukes them further by stating that a Gentile who keeps the law by nature because of his conscience is more of a Jew than a Jew who knows the law and doesn't keep it, even though he's been circumcised. Boy, you know that really gets under the skin. So, in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul says that the Lord will render eternal life to a person who by patient continuance in well-doing seeks for glory and honor and immortality. And in Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says that the Lord will render indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish to every soul of man who is contentious, who does not obey the truth, who obeys unrighteousness, and who does evil, regardless whether he is Jew or Gentile. So what is Paul saying here? Well, Paul is showing us that there are three things concerning no respect of persons. Paul is showing us, first of all, that there is no respect of persons in judgment. In other words, Jews are not exempted from judgment because they are Jews, or because they have been circumcised, or because they know the law, or because they go to the synagogue, or for any other reason that they might use to excuse themselves. I remember years ago there was a fellow up in Tennessee that had a church, and he read through all these things, and his conclusion was that all Israel was going to be saved, so there was no reason to preach the gospel to them because they were God's chosen people and they were exempted. Well, Ananias and Caiaphas was the high priest back in the day when Jesus Christ was crucified. You see that they're 18, John chapter 18, verse 13. He led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that same year. All right, so Annas and Caiaphas were law-abiding Jews, but they were also contentious, and they obeyed not the truth. And you know what they're going to receive? They will receive indignation and wrath at their judgment. He says in Romans 2:8, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. That's what they're going to get at their judgment. Gentiles are not exempted from judgment either just because they're not under the law, or because they hold positions of authority, or because they proclaim their innocence, or for any other reason they may profess. Pilate was the Roman governor who turned Jesus over to the multitude and said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 and look at verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Now, you know what? Pilate is in hell today, washing his hands in eternal flames. You know what he's going to get? He's going to receive indignation and wrath at his judgment because he obeyed not the truth. Look in John chapter 18. Jesus Christ even told him. John chapter 18, look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. There he was, standing right there in front of him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's standing there right in front of Pilate and says, I should bear witness unto the truth. Pilate said, What is truth? What's that? And turned around and walked off. You'll see him, not because you're going to be there unless you are in the same case he's in. You'll see him in hell. You'll see him at the white throne judgment. You'll see him cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because there's no respect of persons in judgment. That's what Paul's showing you in Romans chapter 2. Look, you may be baptized. You may be a member in good standing in your church. You may do good to your fellow man, you know, keeping the second commandment. You may tithe. You may give to the poor. You may be a lot of things. But if you have not obeyed the truth of the gospel, you will be judged and you will receive indignation and wrath at your judgment, just like Annas and Caiaphas, just like Pilate, and just like anybody else who does the same thing. There is no respect of persons. Do you see that? Now, you may be saying, well, who does this man think he is that's talking to me this way on the radio? I don't go for that. I'm a such and such, whatever, Presbyterian, Catholic, Methodist, whatever. My parents were. I was baptized when I was a baby, and I treat people right. Who is this fellow to tell me? I'm telling you. There is no respect of persons in judgment. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a Jew or Gentile. It doesn't make any difference whether you go to church or you don't. If you have not obeyed the truth, but you obey unrighteousness, you get indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. I'll tell you something else. Not only is there no respect of persons in judgment, there is no respect of persons in preaching. You see, you're hearing the gospel today. You're going to. And the gospel is to be preached to every creature. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Where? All the world. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter 4, verse 22, that salvation is of the Jews. Well, I'll tell you something. Although salvation is of the Jews, it is to be preached to Gentiles and Jews alike. It's not restricted to one or the other. Some may say, well, we're Jews. We don't go with the New Testament. Gospel's supposed to be preached to you. You may say, well, we're Jehovah's Witnesses or we're Mormons or whatever, and we have a different book. We have the Watchtower. We have the Book of Mormon, whatever. Let me tell you something. The gospel is to be preached to Gentiles and Jews alike. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Watch it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Jews and Gentiles alike, everywhere. Everywhere Paul preached. He preached to the Jews first, and then he preached to the Gentiles. That's what he said here in Romans chapter 1, the chapter before the one we're studying. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And when you go back and look in the book of Acts, everywhere he goes, he starts out down in the synagogue preaching to the Jews. When they turn him down, then he goes to the Gentiles. He did the same thing in Acts chapter 28 when he finally made it up to Rome. He called the Jews together in verse 23. They appointed him a day. He expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Verse 24, some believed, some didn't. Verse 25, Paul said, you know what? Boy, it was a true thing that Isaiah the prophet said to our fathers. Because you see with your eyes, you but you don't see, you don't perceive, you hear, but you don't you don't understand. The heart of this people is waxed gross. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. So here I am a Gentile, and here I am preaching the gospel, and more than likely you're a Gentile. But that's the way Paul did it. He went to the Jew first, and then he preached to the Gentiles. Now listen, you may be Jewish, and you may be of the opinion that the New Testament gospel is not for you because you've been told to go with the Hebrew Testament. And I'm going to tell you something, you are not correct. With the gospel, listen, with the gospel, there is no respect of persons. You may be of some religion where your quote-unquote salvation is tied to your good works or your religious doctrine or your religious sacraments. You know, where like I was in the Catholic Church growing up, you have to take all the sacraments and pray the rosary and go to confession and go to communion and go to your catechism and all that other stuff and, you know, die in grace and have the last rites and all that other stuff. You know, that all that is tied to your quote-unquote salvation. Well, let me tell you something. If you have not obeyed the truth and have not received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you are lost and you are on your way to hell. That's what's going on in Romans chapter 2. Unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. You say, I'm not contentious. You are. If you're hearing me preach to you about Jesus Christ, you're saying, I don't need that. I'm Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or whatever you are. You're contentious, and you're not obeying the truth. Listen, the Philippian jailer went into into Paul and Silas and asked them, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know what the Bible says? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book of life? You say, well, it's in the church record because of my baptism. That's a different thing. When he says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is talking about you and me putting our total faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary plus nothing. Not your genealogy, not your baptism, not your church membership, not your good works, not anything, but in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. And the Bible says there is no respect of persons. There's no respect of persons concerning the preaching of the gospel. There's no respect of persons concerning judgment. And there's no respect of persons in salvation. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you see that? There's no respect of persons in judgment. God will judge Jew and Gentile alike based on what they've done with Jesus Christ. There's no respect of persons in preaching. Everybody in the world needs this gospel. And there is no respect of persons in salvation. No matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John 14:6. I mean, have you read what Paul said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12? There is none other name. Do you get it? There's no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven. Well, that's you and that's me. We're both under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Salvation is exclusively by Jesus Christ. It's not by Jehovah and your thing, and you're going to be the 144,000. That's nonsense. There are more women running around here thinking they're going to try to be in the 144,000. And the 144,000 are all Jews, they're all males, and they're all virgins. And yet you have these Jehovah's Witnesses run around talking about these folks, and they are clueless when it comes to the truth of the Bible. Listen, salvation is not in all that stuff. It's in Jesus Christ. So when you have someone, listen, we're here in Acts chapter 2, when you have someone who is living his life seeking glory and honor and immortality, like Romans 2:7 says, the Lord, having no respect of persons, makes sure that he hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can be saved. Right now, today, that person may be you. He says here, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's what God renders. He will render to every man according to his deeds. He renders eternal life to those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. So here you are listening to me preach on the radio today. Here you are. You have been, according to your deeds, in well-doing. You're seeking for glory, honor, and immortality. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to give you eternal life today. And eternal life is in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He was buried for 3 days and three nights. He rose again from the dead, that by his resurrection you may know that the eternal life he is offering you is true. And if you will trust that his death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient to pay for your sins, and that he will give you his righteousness when you receive him, he'll give you eternal life. That's right. You have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so you can be saved. I'm going to tell you now, listen, the perfect examples of the truth of Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 are the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius and his kinsmen and friends. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is directed by the Spirit of God to go down to a road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then when he gets there, he sees an Ethiopian who is a eunuch that works for Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The Holy Spirit tells Philip to join himself to this man's chariot. And Philip ran to catch him. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah out of Isaiah chapter 53. And he asked the Ethiopian, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the Ethiopian said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And where he was reading was in that place where Jesus Christ dies for our sins. And the eunuch asked him, "Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So I'm telling you, when a man is seeking for glory, honor, and immortality by his deeds, the Lord ensures that he hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he does, he receives the Lord Jesus Christ, he receives eternal life. Same thing happened to Cornelius. Cornelius was a good man, and the Lord appeared to him, and he said, and the Lord said to him in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." The Lord prepares Peter for the arrival of some Gentiles by showing him a vision, and he sends an angel to appear to Cornelius to send for Peter. And Peter then comes down to Caesarea where Cornelius is with his kinsmen and his near friends. And Peter then recognizes that this man has done good things. His prayer and his alms have come up for a memorial before God. And so Peter says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Just what we're studying about here in Romans chapter 2. He said, "I see it. In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Do you see that? That's unbelievable. I mean, I say it's unbelievable. It is believable. But what I'm saying is the thing that's so cool or so interesting about it is that he's explaining to you in Romans chapter 2 what he's doing in Acts chapter 10. These folks aren't saved by their good works. They're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way they are living, God ensures that they hear the gospel so that they can believe and be saved. In other words, no matter where in the world Really, no matter where in the world there is someone like the eunuch or someone like Cornelius, God will get the gospel to him so that he may receive the Lord Jesus and have eternal life. People have said, well, what about the heathen in Africa? Well, why pick a place like that? There are a lot of missionaries there now, but pick any place. And God, when there is a man there living his life, seeking for glory and honor and immortality, God will get the gospel to him so he can have eternal life. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. We know that all over the Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 13 are the clearest verses on it. They say for sure, this is the record that God gave of his Son, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Any man who believes on Jesus Christ will be saved, regardless of who he is. I mean, even someone like the thief on the cross, who wasn't living his life for glory and honor and immortality, but who wanted eternal life when he saw it, even he can be saved. That thief was railing on Jesus Christ at first and realized his mistake and turned to him and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Listen, those who obey not the truth receive indignation and wrath regardless of any other good thing that may be true about them. Those who seek glory, honor, and immortality will find them in Jesus Christ. And when they find them in Jesus Christ, they receive eternal life. It's that simple. It's that plain. I say to you today, listen, if you have heard this and you have been living your life in such a way that you want eternal life, but you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to receive him now. The best way you know how, by faith, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need help? Call us. We'll be glad to show you how to receive him. But now is your day to have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.